and about one particular aspect of the kingdom of God. We are entering a season in which most of us are going to have the opportunity to get sick. Most of those around you are going to get sick, probably more than once in the next 6 months. You will have several opportunities to get sick. I believe we can make a choice about whether we're going to get sick or not. What I want to talk to you about today is not just healing. It's one thing to get sick, to contract some disease, some problem, some malady, and then get healed of it. We know that the will of God is healing. But I believe that God's highest and best for us is health, and that is freedom from sickness and freedom from illness. It's hard to be joyful, it's hard to be engaged in the work of God when we are not feeling well, when we are out of sorts. And that goes all the way from a case of the sniffles or a headache, something minor that we know that eventually will pass, all the way to something that is life-threatening. One of the earliest examples we have of God's provision for health is the children of Israel in the wilderness. When he took them out of slavery in Egypt and took them into the wilderness, we understand from the record that they all died except Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. All of them died, of the ones who came out of Egypt, save those three. The Lord willing, I'm going to talk to you about at least Moses and Caleb a little later. But one of the things that we know from the record is that while the children of Israel all died in the wilderness, they wandered 40 years, we know that. They all died. The scripture clearly tells us they didn't die sick. The scripture tells us that there was not one feeble or weak among them. Now, the world teaches us that sickness is part of life and that we have to have some of that and we endure it and so on and so forth. And while I'm grateful for hospitals and doctors and modern medicine and so on, in a way, all of those things, I don't know if you'll understand this quite, but when I drive by a hospital, I see it as a monument. Now, do not misunderstand me. I'm grateful for hospitals and for what they do, but I see it as a monument to what the devil has done. And what man has done to try to recover the kingdom of God. For in the kingdom of God, there wouldn't be hospitals. Do you know why? There'd be no need for them. Now, there would be if the kingdom of God had come on earth as Jesus told us to pray, there'd be a need for funeral homes. But there wouldn't be any need for hospitals. You say, Pastor, everybody has to die, and you know, typically the way you die is you get sick and die. You don't have to get sick and die. You do have to die until Jesus comes. That is, unless you think you might go like Enoch did. And that's certainly possible. But it's not too frequent, okay? Enoch did and Elijah did, but those are the only two we know about. Everybody else went the conventional route. And that is where... And I'm not going to take the time. I'm citing some things today, but I don't want to get into those particularly because I don't want to get distracted. The Word of God tells us that the way man dies, this is in the Psalms, is that God takes his breath. That's the way death comes. The breath is taken. When you stop breathing, you're dead. And the way most people die today, however, is the breath is taken, but before the breath is taken, there's usually some debilitating disease. That is not the will of God, and that is not something that I think you and I need to put up with or accept as reality. Now, I want to show you in the scriptures why I believe that health, divine health, health from God, is His will. And I believe with all my heart that a person can live a full life and die without having to go through sickness. You say, Pastor, that's nirvana? No, it's the kingdom of God. You say, Pastor, that's a dream world? I say, no, it is the promise of the Word of God. And I'm going to show it to you today. Now, I want to begin in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 9, if you want to follow along with me today, open to the 9th chapter of Luke. I've got a lot of scripture I want to share today. I'm probably not going to get to all of it, but I'm going to try to make this point best I can. Luke 9, beginning in verse 1, just reading two verses. Then he called, that is Jesus, called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them with a two-pronged mission. Preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Now notice the connection here. Preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. If we jump down to the chapter 10 and verse 9, we find that in the 10th chapter, Jesus sent 70 others out, two by two. And as he sent them forth, he sent them to do the same thing. Verse number 9 contains a portion of the mission he gave to them. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Now notice the connection here. He said, heal the sick, and then tell them the reason you're healed is because the kingdom of God is come near to you. When the kingdom of God comes, sickness goes. Disease goes. Turn backwards in your Bible to the first chapter of Mark. Mark chapter 1. And verse 14, here is Jesus, the description of the ministry of Jesus himself. Now remember who Jesus is. He is God. And when he came, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, if you've heard me, you've heard the Father. So listen to me and you will hear the mind and the will of God. Verse 14, Mark 1, 14. Now, after that John, that is John the Baptist, was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Turn this down just a little bit. I think we're a little strong. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the kingdom, the gospel, or the good news of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. It is here. In Luke, he said to the 70, go tell them the kingdom of God is near you. Here's healing. It's a provision of it. Now, as he came and began his ministry, he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He says, the time is fulfilled. There's no need to wait for the kingdom. The kingdom is here. And then we all know about his ministry. In fact, if we go down to the 23rd verse, we see one of the early examples. There was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Victory over demons and whatever they produce. And then down in the 29th verse, and forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon, this is Peter's wife's mother. That would make her Peter's mother-in-law. Peter's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. Now what is Jesus doing here? And what has he instructed his disciples to do? He's preaching, saying, the kingdom of God is come among you, And he's healing those to make them like they ought to be when the kingdom is present. For if in the kingdom of God there was sickness, why would he be going about healing all of these that were sick? In fact, you know the passage from Matthew 12 and from Luke 11 where Jesus is casting out devils and healing the sick, and there were those there that said he shouldn't be doing this. I'm in Matthew 12, verse 25. Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every house, every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Now, what's being taught here? Jesus said, listen to me, I came to proclaim that the kingdom of God is here. Now, if the kingdom of God included sickness and disease, and Jesus went about healing and telling his followers to do the same, then what is he doing? He's working against the very kingdom that he's proclaiming. And he said, every kingdom that is divided against itself, every city, every house that is in opposition among itself is going to surely fall, and we know the kingdom of God will not. Now, there's ample evidence throughout the scripture, and some of you may be saying, Pastor, we know this and we understand this. That's fine. You stay with me. Just hang with me. I want you to come to an understanding. You cannot receive healing for yourself if you're sick. You cannot receive healing for yourself unless you know that you know that you know that you know that it is part of something that belongs to you and something that God wants to give you. You will never get healed until you first know that it's the will of God for you to be healed. You will never walk in divine health. You will never have the strength to resist sickness and disease and so on until you understand that they are trespassers in the kingdom of God. I get to thinking the other day, one of our people here said to me the other day, and I say this just in passing, I just had my 61st birthday, as most of you know, and this individual said to me, you know, Pastor, you're the healthiest 61-year-old I've ever known. That statement, I mean, I don't know whether that's true or not, but that statement just kept going over and over and over in my spirit. And I began thinking about that. It's true. When I was 30, I thought 60 was like, you know, check with a funeral home and make sure that they have an opening. For real. I feel healthy. I do. And I got thinking about why. Why is it that a person would say that about me, and why is it that it's true? At least from my perspective, it is. And I got to thinking about the scriptures that impact that very truth. And I'm going to share some of those with you today. Healing and health are part of the kingdom of God. Christians ought not, listen to me, we ought not to wear out. Are you listening? We should simply get translated when the time comes. Now, it is true that because of the fall, that our bodies are not the same as they were when they were 20, 30, and so on. But it doesn't mean we've got to go out like this. We have to die, but we don't have to die sick. You've heard me say over and over again, I have absolutely no problems praying for somebody who is on a deathbed of illness. Now, some do. Because if you take a person who's, say you've got a person who's 80, they've lived a full life. Haven't you ever heard that? Oh, they've lived a full life. Person is sick, and you know that sooner or later they're going to die, and this is probably what they're going to die of, so why should we pray to get them healed? And most of us go through the motions, and we pray. We don't really think they ought to get healed anyway because we think they're going to die. We don't have faith for that. If you're 80 and you're sick and you believe God wants to heal you, you ask me to come. I will come and pray. I will join my faith with yours. I will pray that God will raise you off of your sickbed and restore you to health. Now, you may die 30 seconds after you get restored. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you today? Okay. Now, let's go to Matthew 6. Healing and health are a part of the kingdom of God. We should expect, as citizens of the kingdom of God, we should expect not only to get healed when we get sick, but we should expect to be able to stand against sickness and to live healthy. Matthew 6 and verse number 9. Jesus is giving what we've come to call the Lord's Prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We praise you, Heavenly Father. We hallow and honor your holy name. And then this verse, the 10th. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What do you suppose Jesus meant by that? Why do you suppose he asked us to pray that way? How many of you think that in heaven they just have better medicine than we do here? Do you think that's the way it is, that we can get headaches up there, but you get instant healing? Do you think that's the way heaven is? Do you think in heaven you could get cancer, but then you get, because you're so near the throne, you know, you just get healed real quick? Do you think that's the way it is in heaven? You know it's not. You know it isn't. You know in heaven there's nothing there that will, the Bible says, hurt or destroy. In all my holy mountain, nothing. Now, if that's true, and the one whom we call King of Kings and Lord of Lords has said to us, you pray to the Father and pray that his kingdom would fully come in the earth just like it is in heaven. How many times have we said that and not understood what we were praying? Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We've even said it, Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We've even sung it. We put it to music. Thy kingdom come. Let it be on earth, Lord, fully the way it is in heaven. Now, with regard to sickness and disease, that means we are to pray and ask God to make it here on earth no sickness. Then Jesus comes along and he says, The kingdom of God is at hand. What does that mean? It's here. It is here. Then why are so many of us sick? And why are so many of us, or so few of us, not sick? Because either we do not understand what we're talking about here, or we don't believe it, one or the other. All right, Proverbs chapter 3. Let me take you back to there. Proverbs, the third chapter. Now, you can say, well, Pastor, I don't really think that, everybody's got to be a little bit sick. That's fine. You go ahead and be a little bit sick if you want. I mean, that's, you know, you can. You can. I choose not to. Now, it may catch me unaware, but it doesn't mean that it's going to catch me willingly. And it doesn't mean I'm going to lay down and let it run over me. Proverbs chapter 3. Oh, glory to God for his word. His word. Proverbs chapter 3. This is Steve's verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. I forget why he was sharing this, but he was testifying along these lines just recently. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, be not wise in thine own eyes. Don't think you have all the answers. Fear the Lord, reverence him, and depart from evil, for what shall godly living produce? Verse number 8. Reverence for God, staying away from evil, trusting him in everything, acknowledging him in all that we do is going to produce something in our life. And one of those things is it shall be health to thy navel. Now you're saying, thank you, Pastor, but my belly button is just fine. I knew some of you would be thinking along those lines. But the word navel here does not mean your belly button. It means the center of your strength, your physical strength. It's the center part of your body physically, but what it is allegorizing here is this is the center of your physical health, physical strength. It will be health to the center of your physical being. What will be? Loving God, walking with Him, refraining from evil, trusting Him in everything, not leaning to your own understanding. Well, it's flu season, I'm probably going to get it. Are we going to get the Asian flu, the Chinese flu? Are we going to get the Korean flu? Are we going to get the German flu? Are we going to get the Hong Kong flu? What brand are we going to get this year? None of them. See, you can have all of them you want. Most of them will pass through your neighborhood. And they'll all look for a place to reside. Now see, what we all might not get a flu shot, but we don't believe that the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, is there something wrong with getting a flu shot? No, I don't think there's anything wrong with getting a flu shot. That's where your faith is. You go get the flu shot. I mean, get two or three of them if you think it'll help. I mean, you know, if you think that that's a good thing to do. I'm not against immunization or medicines or anything like that. I think only a fool would be. But I'm saying to you that there is a better way than putting dead germs in your body to get immunized against something that is harmful to you. And that is, we'll see it in just a moment. Okay, now, it is health to your navel. I like that. This is why I like the King James, because I like the there's something in the way the old English word things. I don't know. It's just rather than reading, it's health to the center of your being. You know, health to your navel. I mean, I just understand what that means. And it'll be marrow to your bones. Marrow to your bones. Literally, moisture to your body is what this means. It'll be health to the center of your physical strength, and it'll be moisture, life-giving moisture, water, to your body. Now, if this is true, and I believe it is, a Christian ought to expect to get fewer colds, fewer flus, fewer headaches, fewer earaches, fewer serious life-destroying or life-threatening diseases than a non-Christian, shouldn't he? I believe so. I do. Now let's jump over a page or two to the fourth chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. My son, we might say my daughter, attend to my words, incline your ear, lean your ear toward my sayings. Lean over so you can hear me real good. Let them, that is my words, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Oh, 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 heaven is in my heart. Keep them in the middle of your heart. Why? Because they, my words, are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Did you know that the Word of God can keep you healthy? You know it now. The Word of God can keep your body whole. I had a lady by the other day. She's a former member of our church. She goes to another church in the community just now. She was having a serious problem with her body. I'm not sure what the problem was. I don't know if she even told me, but she came by one afternoon. Actually, I'd been in another part of the building. I came back to my office, and there she was sitting on the sofa. She kind of startled me when I walked in. And she greeted me. We've known each other for many years, and She said, she shared a couple things that were going on in her life. And then she said, I need to get some healing scriptures. She said, I'm having this problem, whatever it was. And she said, I know that God has healed me, but I'm having trouble tapping into that. And I'm having trouble getting my faith to the level where I can receive that. And it's really hurting me. And I need just healing scriptures. Just what does the Word of God say about healing? Just the scriptures on healing. She said, I've been to the Christian bookstore and they looked at me like I was crazy, that they didn't understand what I was talking about. And I've been here, there, and she named a number of places where she went. And she said, I knew if I came to see you that you'd be able to tell me. Why? Because she's heard me preach this. And she knows this is what I believe. And so I went to my cash and took her out some things that would, you know, that would do what she needed done. You have any idea what a blessing that was? To have someone come and say, I knew that you could give me what I needed, you know, help me, what I needed. And all she wanted was the Word of God. Do you know why she wanted the Word of God? Because she understood this scripture. She understood that the Word of God is like a medicine. And I'm going to look at that today, but there's another proverb. It's a medicine. The words of God are health to all their flesh, life to those that find them, that discover this truth. Now, why did God bless His people this way? Is it because we're something special? Turn back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Why would God establish something in His kingdom that other people couldn't have? The fact is, other people can have it, but they have to come into the kingdom to get it. Okay? The reason that He has given us this wonderful gift of divine health is right here in Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were but the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn to your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out, that is, out of Egypt, with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with him that love Him, and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. And then verse 12, wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that is, be hearers and doers also of the word of God, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and mercy which He sware unto thy fathers. He will love thee, He will bless thee, He will multiply thee, He'll bless the fruit of thy womb, the fruit of thy land, the corn, etc., etc. Verse 14, thou shalt be blessed above all people. Verse 15, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. Get a hold of that. The Lord will take away from thee all sickness. See, this is part of the kingdom of God. All sickness. You take it all away. Why? He wouldn't do that for me. Oh, yes, He would. I'm not good enough. I know that, and so does He. Neither were these people. They were so bad that He let them die without ever getting the promised land. But He was king among them, and in His kingdom there was no sickness. No weakness, no feebleness, no sickness. Do you know what happened? When they walked in the wilderness in 40 years, their shoes didn't wear out. Now, I guess if God can make a pair of shoes last 40 years, He can make this body last about as long as He wants to make it last. Don't you think? I mean, where are you going to go? There's no Parisians in the wilderness. There is no Sears Roebuck. They don't even have access to a catalog store. Where are they going to get clothes? Somebody's got an idea. They'll take sickness away. How much of the sickness will he take? Well, he'll take the cancer and the heart disease, but he leaves the kidneys, the liver, the headaches, the flu, and all that with you. No. He'll take all disease. My wife has a mother who lives with us. I think she's going to outlast both of us. She's 93 and a half. She's not sick. Her body's weak. She can't walk and that sort of, but she's not sick. I mean, it's the most incredible thing. 93 years old, and she has no pain, no discomfort. She rarely gets a bed sore. If I laid in bed for 20 hours, I'd have a bed sore. She's laid in bed how many years? Explain that to me. Well, it's her genes. It's the chromosomes that she came from. No, all her brothers and sisters died early. She's outlived them all. Tell me why. You explain that to me. Tell me why. Well, she's just different. Her constitution is different. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that's the word of God. She's the healthiest 93-year-old that I know. I will take away, the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. See, others can get sick if they want to, but you don't have to, he says. Turn with me to Psalm 91. You say, Pastor, well, this is all Old Testament stuff. This is old. Well, just don't leave too early. Psalm 91. Oh, Jesus, I love your word. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Good to know these songs, isn't it, huh? Okay, here's a man who is dwelling in the secret place of the Almighty God under the shade of the Lord Himself. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. I trust in Him. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. You know what the noisome pestilence is? It's another word like navel. It's so full of meaning. The noisome pestilence is that loud screaming disease that threatens to kill you and destroy your quality of life. He will deliver you from that. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. You know what pestilence is? It's another word for plague. Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side. You turn on the news, and on the news they will say, the schools are half empty because everybody's got the flu. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Verse number 14, I like this verse particularly, through 16, because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. If we decide to love God, He promises to deliver us. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me. I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Long life, healthy life, belongs to us. Now, you say, well, how about that? That's Old Testament. How about the New Testament? Turn with me to right back near the back of your Bible, 3 John. 3 John. This would be one of the little Johns. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. It's so small it doesn't even have a chapter. It has 14 verses and that's all. But one of these verses is so pregnant with truth. 3rd John, verse 2. John the Apostle is speaking now under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's John that is expressing this wish. He says, "Beloved, I wish something." It's John that's expressing the wish, but it's the Holy Spirit that is in him that's causing him to express this. Remember, every kingdom divided against itself will what? Fall. "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." As we walk with God, as we come to make Jesus Christ our Savior, as we open our hearts and lives to Him, as we walk with Him and trust Him in all the aspects of our life, as His kingdom sets itself up in us, we should expect to be in health. Now, I know there are many that will spiritualize this word health and say, well, that means spiritual health. That means that we should be spiritually healthy. That's not what this word means. And you look it up in the Greek yourself, and it means sound health, well in body, to be uncorrupted and whole. Now, I don't know where you'd find sickness in there. It is the will of God. It is the desire of God. I believe with all my heart that we should be in health. And good health, good physical health, should follow good spiritual health. I could take you to a dozen scriptures that will verify that. We don't have the time to do that today. But turn back with me to Matthew. I give you some New Testament here also from the life of Jesus. Matthew chapter 8. Remembering, every kingdom divided against itself will fall. It's said about Jesus. I'm in Matthew 8 and verse 16. That when the even was come, when it became evening, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed a few folks there that were sick to demonstrate that he was able. No, my Bible says that he healed all that were sick. When the king came, the kingdom was with him. And wherever he went, he healed. So that, verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, let me ask you something, Christian. If himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases and our sicknesses, then why are we having them? That's like double jeopardy, sounds like to me, doesn't it? I mean, if he already did it, why should we? If he carried them away, you know, when we haul our trash away. We live out in the country where we don't have any garbage pickup. You may have garbage pickup at your place. Maybe let me ask you about your place. How many of you have garbage pickup at your place? Okay. They come regularly, don't they? Pick up your garbage once a week. Anybody here ever called them and said, "Would you bring my garbage back, please?" Anybody ever request that? I mean, I wonder if they would. It's stupid. Pastor Vic, as it would be. But we do the same dumb thing. Jesus carried away our garbage. He carried away our sicknesses. We wake up in the morning and we feel a little roughness in the throat, and we're just like we get on the telephone, we say, "Would you send some of that back? Because our throat is a little scratchy." It's just like asking for our garbage to get redelivered. Ridiculous. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Well, Pastor, what about Paul's thorn in the flesh? I mean, wasn't Paul sick, and did he have a thorn in the flesh? And gee, if Paul couldn't stay healthy, how could I expect to stay healthy? That's the way it goes. Well, first of all, I don't believe Paul's thorn in the flesh was sickness at all. That's a whole other subject, but if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, you will see that Paul's thorn in the flesh was a messenger from Satan sent to buffet him. It wasn't sickness. You see, well, he had a guy working with him. I mean, I've had this conversation with traditional denominational people, and said, well, yeah, but how about that Epaphroditus? What about Epaphroditus? And he was working with Paul, and he got sick, and it's true he got sick. But you know, Epaphroditus does not necessarily witness forth the will of God. He's a man just like me. And I would say, well, what about Robert there? He was sick, and if he can't live healthy, then how can I? Or, Pat Robertson got sick, and hallelujah, he's the most Christian guy I know, and if he got sick, well, then what hope do I have? Well, Paul wrote also in 2 Corinthians that any person who compares himself with others is not wise. Not wise. I want to have what the Word says I have, not what somebody else failed to appropriate for himself. Does that make sense to you? And so, I'm sorry about Epaphroditus, and I'm sorry that he got sick, and I'm sorry that he had that situation in his life. But Jesus is our example, and I see no record where he was ever sick. And his word is our instruction, and I don't see anywhere in here where we're supposed to be sick. And I see many other examples of those who were not. Let me give you two, and then I'll close. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Let's go there first. This is probably most familiar. Deuteronomy chapter 34. You remember a man named Moses? This is not my grandson now. This is the leader of the Israelite nation in the wilderness. I told you that when the Israelites were in the wilderness, none of them got sick. They all died, but they weren't sick. Listen to this. Chapter 34 and verse 5. Let's start at verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. Just an interesting side note here. You see what happened here. Moses died, and God buried him. Now, the book of Jude tells us that the devil argued. He wanted the body. Does anybody know why the devil would want Moses' body? And why no man knows where Moses was buried? I heard you. Yes, it was a question to be answered.
David Bush question.
Exactly right. They would make of him a memorial, and they would worship him, and he would be an idol. And they would. This is why I don't think, you go to Israel, and they will take you to the place where they think his sepulcher was, of Jesus, the sepulcher of Jesus. I don't think they know. I don't think God would allow that. If you're not sure whether people will do that or not, just read a book on the Shroud of Turin. People worship that thing. For centuries, they worshiped what they thought was the chalice that Jesus used to drink the last cup of the Last Supper. Mankind is like that. When they don't know the real, they will invent an artificial. And God would not allow Moses, because of his historical importance, would never allow his burying place to be known, because they'd erect a monument there and worship it. Just an aside. Okay. So Moses dies. God takes him up in the mountain. He dies. How did he die? God took his breath away. He died. God buried him there. You mean he actually got a shovel and dug a hole? No, I think he probably said, Moses, be buried. the same way in the beginning he said, light be. And there was. So I guess if he could make in 6 days everything we can see and what we can't see, he could probably bury Moses without any help. Amen. Amen. Well, don't you think about these? I think about these practical things. Verse number 7. Now, here's the key verse. This is one I want you to get now. And Moses was 120 years old. Everybody say 120. When he died, his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Mercy, that's exactly what he had. I believe the man could preach, don't you? ...120 years old, and he had all of his natural forces. 61 years old, hostile, agile, and mobile, look out. Amen. Well, don't look at it like that. I mean, why shouldn't we expect this? Don't we have a better covenant than he had?
Amen.
We have a better covenant, as Hebrews says. It's based upon better promises. He died, but there wasn't anything wrong with his body. Well, Pastor, you make a doctrine on one person? No. No. You know me better than that. Let's go to Joshua chapter 14. You remember I told you that there were only three people did not die in the wilderness. One was Moses. The other two were Joshua and Caleb. Joshua is still alive. He takes the children of Israel into the promised land. He dies old age, full of years. You can find his story in Joshua 24. He wasn't sick either. He came to the end of his life. He set all of his things in order and he died. But I really like this one, which is the testimony of Caleb. Joshua chapter 14. I'm in Judges. Let me back up here to Joshua chapter 14. They got into the promised land. And when they got there, you remember now that Caleb was a grown man, a full-fledged man, at the beginning of the wilderness wanderings. When they came out of Egypt, he wasn't a child. He was a grown man. How do I know that? Because he was one of the men that went in shortly after they came out of Egypt into the promised land to spy it out. These were men. These were warriors, not 15-year-old kids. So you figure he's a man, you know, he's 20, between 20 and 40, somewhere in there probably. We don't know, but I'm guessing that that would be where he would be. They wander 40 years in the wilderness. That makes him 60, 80, something like this, at the time they come into the land of Canaan. When they come into the land of Canaan, you have basically two old men, Joshua and Caleb, and then all the rest of them are younger than 40 because they were the ones born in the wilderness. Well, Joshua and Caleb are involved with the army, and they are involved with the waging the war against the Amorites and all the rest of the Ites that were in the land of promise. And as they are conquering the land, and Joshua is divvying it up and dividing it among the tribes, and Caleb comes forth one day here in the 14th chapter. Here's the story. Verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilead, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. That is, when the spies came back. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. So this would make him 80 now, plus, 80 plus. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, as the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. So how old would he be? 85, thank you. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am, watch this now, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Now, here's a man, 85 years old, and he's testifying, I'm as strong now as I was when I was 40. I can go out to war, I can come in, I can go and come, I have all of my faculties. I am a participant in the kingdom of God, divine health. Now, beloved, what's the Lord trying to say to us today? I believe what he's saying is this. His kingdom has already come. His kingdom is on the inside of us. It is his will and desire that the fullness of that kingdom be expressed in our lives. And that means to me, and I hope it means to you, that one of the most significant facets of benefits of being a part of the kingdom of God is that we can live a life in health. In health. Do you know, this is not arrogance now, and this is not pride, and this is not bragging, I make my boast in the Lord. Do you know how many times I have failed to bring forth the word of God in my ministry? At times that I was supposed to be here and bring forth the word of God. Do you know how many times? Zippo. Not one. In over, and I haven't preached straight through, but in over 20 years. No Sunday, no Wednesday, no in-between time have I ever not been able to come and take this pulpit and or to take a teaching assignment anywhere or a speaking engagement anywhere and not bring forth the word. Not once in all those years. Tell me why. Tell me why. It'll be health to your flesh. Health to your navel. Now the devil just slips it into my spirit right now. He just slips it in there. Okay, your day's coming. No, it isn't. No, it isn't, you lying snake. I'm walking in divine health. He'll always be there. See, I'm testifying to you. I'm telling you. I'm confessing and I'm declaring. And there he is, right there. Right, I mean, just right there. You say, is the devil speaking to you while you're preaching? Exactly. He's speaking to me while I'm preaching it to you. And he said, watch what you're saying because you're writing a check that you may not be able to cash. Beloved, I can't cash it, but the Jesus that's in me is greater than the one that is in the world. He'll cash it for me. I don't expect to ever miss a service that I'm supposed to produce in. And the reason is because God has promised us divine health. Now, you can get sick if you want to, and then, you know, we certainly want to pray and minister healing to the sick. But, oh, it's a lot better. To just stay healthy. You know, it's a lot cheaper too. Anybody been to Vera's Hospital lately? You charge over there, don't you, for your services? Big time money. Big a moolah. You want to know where the money is? Go to the hospital and check the parking lot where it says doctors only. Amen. That's right. That's where you're going to see all the Beamers and all the Mercedeses and all the Jaguars and all the fancy convertibles and so on. Big money in that. Big money in sickness. Whoa, yes, big money. All right, let's everybody stand, please. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out who's making all the money. You go to as I just described, the doctor's parking lots. Or go to your bank. The fanciest buildings in town are the banks. Fanciest furniture, fanciest decor. Now, if you go to work at a bank, you're going to go be a teller. Anybody ever been a bank teller? Little moolah. They pay their tellers little moolah. Very little. Nothing wrong with being a bank teller. That's not what I mean. But chintzy. I mean, beautiful place to work and so on. I always wondered about the banks and how they require their tellers to dress so nice. You know, you take some skanky person off the street and make them a bank teller and you get this metamorphosis all of a sudden. Pretty clothes and, nice appearance. Look just like the furniture. I've always wondered, how do they do it? They paid them a little bit of money, but they have to spend big time money on their appearance. I've always wondered why anybody would want to be a bank teller because of that. That's another subject altogether. But those are the people who are making the big bucks. You can see it. I don't know where that came from, Lois. Why did you have me say that? Let's pray here. Father, we see that your word is more powerful than any other earthly force. We see that it's so powerful that it can give us victory over that which kills people, has the power to kill. We're making decisions, Lord, as we hear your word. We're deciding that we're going to believe it, act upon it, and receive the benefits and the blessings that are promised as a result. We're entering a time, Lord, where lots of people around us are going to be sick. There can be lots of people coughing and sneezing and complaining. This is the biggest time of the year for the people that make over-the-counter medications, prescriptions. Lord, we don't want to spend any of your money on those things. And we don't want to waste any of our time being sick, notwithstanding the threat that it holds over. We thank you today for the promise of your kingdom and for this wonderful blessing that accompanies salvation, that we not only have been delivered from the penalty of our sins and delivered from the power of sin to continue to oppress us, but we have been delivered also from sickness and from disease and granted the right to walk in divine health. Strengthen our faith, Lord, through the hearing and the reading of your word, that we might enjoy the fruit of this wonderful blessing. Our life is in you. Our strength is in you, physical as well as spiritual. And our hope, our expectation is in you. It's in you. Everybody say, it's in you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're dismissed.